It's electric.
It's
a dong feng. It's called a box. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of dong feng.
Okay.
So, Prince William, how are you?
Am I elevated to prince again?
You are.
I shall have to organize my eyebrows to make sure that we're in accordance with the royal doctrines of principalities. Good, and you?
I'm very good. Been very, very busy, but...
You've been a difficult man to get hold of.
I've been very busy in the last few weeks, haven't I? But the world moves on, and there's still plenty happening in the motoring industry. I've been covering the tech space, but there is a lot going on in motoring, and that's what we're here to talk about today.
We've got quite a bit of ground to cover, I think, yeah.
Indeed. Welcome to Season 0, Episode 3, the final episode of the Season 0 of the show, and I'm sure we're going to proceed to
a pilot, do we?
In due course, yeah. Pilot of three episodes. And I'm having fun. I think you're having fun.
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. Let's see what the feedback is.
Yeah. We're going to publish the first episode shortly, and we'll be publishing them weekly over the next 3 weeks.
Hopefully we don't stand on too many toes and irritate too many people, but you know.
Yeah, send hate mail to, what's your email address again?
And Duncan at...
all the admiration you can send through to wheels@techcentral.co.za. No, seriously, let's not know what you think of the show. This is a pilot, and if you like it, and we'll know that from the traffic numbers, we'll proceed to season one and make this a permanent...
Share widely, absolutely.
I think we're going to do that. So, Dongfeng, they are a Chinese, I think state-owned...
Aren't they all?
Not all of them, but a lot of them.
It's a large EV manufacturer coming from China, indeed. From China.
Dongfeng, and they actually produce military vehicles for the Chinese military. They make trucks and all sorts of things. But we're talking today about their new Dongfeng Box EV electric car, which has gone on sale. I think it's about to go on sale in South Africa.
It's live. You can go and buy one.
I think you can, yeah. It starts at 460,000 Rand, so this is one of the cheapest EVs we've seen in the country. And cheap doesn't mean crap.
No, it absolutely doesn't. And remember that, you know, at 460,000, it sounds like a lot of money, but this is still the cheapest BEV. It's a fully electric vehicle on the market. 520 gives you the slightly bigger battery.
Yes.
So the range goes up to, I think, 300 and something odd k's, more than you need.
It's a city.
For a city runabout, which is exactly what this little car is.
Yeah. You know, you're not going to drive to Cape Town in this, although some people will.
Do you know, there's a road trip coming up to PE sometime towards the end of the year. Oh, yes. I'm sorely tempted to prove that you actually can take a little city runabout all the way down to the coast for your annual recreational holiday.
Which might take you a while to get there.
We'll see. we're going to chat a bit about the EV charging infrastructure in the country later on in the show. But it's getting better all the time, so yeah.
Anyway, we had a test drive a few days ago in the Dongfeng Box.
We did.
And we've put this little video together, so... It's a cut to the reel.
Here we are, William, outside the Tech Central offices. We are in the Dongfeng Box.
We're in another EV.
Yeah, Chinese made.
This is the smallest one I've seen. But, you know, it's got space for...
It's surprisingly well appointed, actually.
It's ridiculously big at the back. I mean, when you look out, when you get outside the car, you see how small it is on the outside.
Yes.
But at the back, it's just enormous. Okay, I had a sneak peek at the boot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the boot's not great.
It's a little small.
But this is a city runaround.
Yeah.
This is what it's for. And it comes in two flavors. You've got 430 km of range or 330 km of range, which is this one.
Mm-hmm.
But for a city runaround, I mean, and top speed of 150 on the highway, it's what you want. It's what you need.
And it's actually really comfortable. I was expecting less.
Look at all this. I mean, we'll show some pictures. Shots of the interior later on. But it is plush. And it's got such a cool little...
I'd love the tray.
Tray for your odds and sods.
Yeah. Hey, all right, shall we get this on the road? It's comfy. Right, there is a game of soccer going on in our office park. Let's try and navigate around these guys.
It has a...
It's a lovely big screen. It's like these big iPad-style screens that become standard in cars.
I was quite surprised by the size of the driver's display, which is teeny tiny.
Oh, yes.
But it's just got, like, you know,
but it's
a big number of your speed and really what else do you need.
Yeah, and it shows you your power and your headlight information and the time. And, yeah,
away you go.
It's quite light on the steering, but not unpleasantly so. Let's go. This is in comfort mode. I'm hitting the floor.
Is this?
It's not. This is quite acceptable for a city runaround.
Well,
I mean, it's not gonna.
It's not going to win any robot-to-robot things, but if you want to get from A to B, it's fun.
Yeah. First thing I see, it's got digital audio broadcasting radio on it.
Oh, well, that's
digital
great.
Digital radio.
We like digital radio.
It's, while we're talking about radio, let's have a listen to it. DAB, let's see what happens. Scanning. Quite a lot of reflection on the screen, which makes it a bit difficult to see in the light.
That's because it's still got its...
Oh, it still has a sticker on it, okay. It's very competent on the road. How's the ride in the back, Dick?
It's very comfortable. I've got a lot of leg space. Yeah.
Lots of leg room.
It's massive, huh?
For a small car, they've done pretty well.
It is actually quite comfortable. It's going too well on a long trip.
I'm going to go this way. So we've got 199 kilometers of range left. I don't know where these guys are taking us back to, but...
The road noise is quite loud on this thing.
It is a little, yeah. But it's a comfy car, and it's got nice little luxury touches everywhere. Especially those
stitched, it's very sort of.
Wireless charging over here. Is this charging?
Yes, it is.
It is?
And it's cooled. It's vented, which is nice. It's got the noise that turns off after a speed, so it tells you when you're driving slowly, people can hear you.
Oh,
you
right.
Don't walk over them. Mm-hmm.
Damn, so they'll know I'm coming.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly.
There goes that plan.
Exactly. It's not that loud, but apparently outside the car you can hear it.
Okay.
Yeah, so I suspect that's what's happened here, is that it's not DABing because it needs a connection.
Good afternoon, it says, with a cat sitting on a couch.
And there's a little picture of your daughter.
Perseverance can conquer any peak in the world, okay.
And interesting enough, it's got a turntable. Vinyl. Get it away.
With a little DAB sign next to it.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe it'll add some snap, crackle and pop to your DAB to make it authentic. 1920s listening.
I must say, for the price point, this is...
I was a little disappointed at 460. I wanted it under 400.
Yeah. Under 400 is certainly going to sell it. But even at this price point...
Okay, so
and to be fair, that extra 60 is probably the tax.
Well, and I think the extra 60 is for the 400k range one. So the 300k range one is just under 400.
No.
What's the range?
460 is the entry level price for this model, and then 520 is the price on.
Is it up to 520?
520 on the extended range model, which I think has a range of 430 kilometers.
Yes, that does make a difference.
But it's a small car. It's light, but it's somehow they've managed to make the cabin a decent size.
No, it's massive. I mean, there's
height too.
Space in here for hours.
Could probably fit Jeremy Clarkson in here if you wanted to. Well, not that he'd ever get in here, but
well, you'd have to be dead. But we can arrange that too. He won't hear you coming. Old and deaf.
I do feel rather small behind a Toyota Fortuna, though.
Not as, but I mean, we look at the height we are with this. Here. Let's pull up to this guy.
What is that thing?
It's electric.
Yeah, what is it?
it's a Dongfeng.
It's a Dongfeng.
A Dongfeng.
It's called a box. Have you heard of it?
I've heard Dongfeng, not this specific one.
Okay, this is the first one they've released. You can buy it today.
Oh, wow.
I don't think it's quite as quick as your car, but it's, but it is electric.
Certainly getting attention.
It's interesting.
All right, so I'm going to try changing modes here. We are now in sport mode, so let's see if we can drain this battery. Okay.
This is sport mode.
This is sport mode. It feels a bit the same as comfort, really.
It's, yeah.
And the top speed is what, 150?
150, he claimed. Okay.
Claimed 150.
But I mean, that's
fine. How we drive,
you just want to get onto the highway, and if you need to, you can get to 130, and that's perfectly fine.
Exactly,
it's perfectly fine.
Right, I'm now in eco mode. Performance still feels good.
Does it have regen braking?
No,
it's not doing much regen.
Not that I can feel. I think they're going to sell a lot of these.
Don't catch me on a bad day.
So they've announced... The team from eAuto has told us that they have actually sold a large number of these. They've got a large order from a fleet owner. They can't tell us who
or where or anything about
or what,
it.
But the number quoted is impressive
is
indeed.
Is remarkable. It will
it's
be
enormous.
A significant percentage of South Africa's total EV sales every
it's,
year.
It's, it, well, put it this way, the EX30 what?
exactly, it'll leave it in the dust.
It's just, from a sales point of view, it's... Mm. Yeah, but I mean, at the pricing point, one would expect sales to be there. But it's a really good... If that's actually the case... It's a really good indication that South Africans are waking up to the joys of EV and that there's demand, and that pricing is the thing that's holding us back.
Yes, it has to be.
Well, that was fun. William and I just got to drive the Dongfeng Box. A surprisingly luxurious drive, actually, for the price point. And I'm very pleased now to be welcome in the studio Leo Yu. Now, he's sales GM for eAutomotor, which represents Dongfeng in South Africa. Leo, it's good to see you. Thanks for making the time. Tell me a bit about eAutomotor, first of all. I take it's a fairly new company here in South Africa. Is it established exclusively to represent Dongfeng?
Yeah, eAuto is a local company. Mm-hmm. It's a South Africa company. And eAuto is Dongfeng exclusive authorized partner in South Africa. And we bring the new EV, just focus on new EV, to South Africa market. Mm-hmm. And backed by Dongfeng with professional marketing, after sales, and technical support.
Okay.
And tailored to this market.
Great. And Dongfeng, I don't know much about the brand. Mm-hmm. It's quite a big Chinese EV brand. Tell us a bit about Dongfeng. Where in China is it based?
Yeah.
How many models of cars does it have? What's its focus? Mm-hmm.
Actually, Dongfeng is based in Wuhan, Hubei. And Dongfeng is the second automobile manufacturing plant in China, mm-hmm. Which one belongs to central government. And was established in 1969. And it has sold over 1.4 million vehicles overseas mm-hmm. With its product sold in over 100 countries.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And it does a whole range of vehicles, not just cars. It does...
It covers the passenger cars, mm-hmm. Commercial vehicles, and for army.
Army, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. okay. Is it a state-owned company, Dongfeng?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is the car we've just had a chance to drive, and it was a comfortable experience, interesting model in the South African market, and I think it's going to shake up the EV market mm-hmm. locally. Is this the first model that eAuto is bringing into the country?
Yeah, this is the first one. Our plan is to have 5 or 6 models here in this year. In this year. And in the coming years, we have another 5 to 6 models available.
Okay. And what are some of the cars that Dongfeng makes? This is one of the more entry-level products that you're bringing into the market first. Yeah. Do they do higher-end vehicles as well?
Yeah. We will have the hatchback mm-hmm. and the sedan and SUV and even MPV and as well as van.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's all confirmed coming to the South African market?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, tell us a bit about what eAutomotor is doing in terms of customer service and support. People are obviously going to look at this vehicle, find it interesting, think about buying one. Yeah. What can they expect post-purchase? What can they expect after they've bought it in terms of customer service and after-sales servicing?
Okay. I think firstly, we need to talk about the network. Mm-hmm. Our target is to develop over 30 net dealerships mm-hmm. Within these years to promise the after sales. For the product itself, we will supply, for example, for the box, mm-hmm. we will supply 4 year and 80,000 kilometers service plan, as well as for the main parts, for example, the battery mm-hmm. motors, we will give 8 year and 200,000 kilometers warranty. Mm-hmm. So I think
very good.
We will supply the best service to our customers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can buy the car now, today?
Yeah, it's available right now.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. And it's coming in a number of different variants. Maybe just take us through the different models of the box that are going to be available. Mm-hmm. There's an entry-level one and then a one with an extended range battery. Maybe just take us through the different models and how they differ.
Actually, they have 2 different types for these cars. Basically, it's different from by the range. Mm-hmm. 330 and 430, we have different types and some other configuration different.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, and but we're talking here on the entry level model of a range of around 330 kilometers claimed, and on the more expensive model, you're looking at a 430 kilometer range. What are you getting on the more expensive model apart from longer range? What are some of the other features that you're getting on there?
For example, they will have the seat memory,
okay,
or the bigger wheel, and some other configurations such as the level 2 automotive drive, and the 540 degree camera, something like this.
Yeah. Okay, so you're getting quite a lot more for for the top end model that's coming to the market. Now this is very bright in what do you call this color? It looks yellowish to me. What is the official color here?
Actually, we call it green.
Green. Yeah. Okay. And it also comes in?
Sorry.
What are the other color options that
We have white, blue, and purple.
White, blue, and purple. Yeah. Okay. But certainly if you want to be noticed, this is the this is the color to get. Yeah, in fact, while we were driving around, William and I, a few minutes ago, we were getting a lot of attention from other road users who were interested in this vehicle, people winding down their windows to talk to us.
It's easy to find.
I think there's a lot of interest in the South African market for EVs. Who's this vehicle targeted at? Who are the likely buyers of this? Who are you going to be marketing it to?
Actually, I think our customer are diverse, but share key traits. Mm-hmm. For example, the urban drivers or the city youth, the family who care about the cost-friendly vehicles for the city trips, or some guys forward-thinking individuals. But essentially, I think anyone who look for eco-friendly vehicles, we have designed the cars for the needs. Mm-hmm.
So, Leo, how much is going to cost? I guess that's the most important question. We've got two models coming into the market. So what's the sort of indicative pricing you're looking at here?
Yeah, the price right now, we confirmed it, the range is from 460 to 520.
460 to 520. Yeah, so 460 for the base model, which we drove, had a chance to drive today, and 520,000 for the fully kitted out spec version. How many of these are you expecting to sell? I imagine that this is going to be very popular in the South African market, and I don't want you to give away your secrets, but are you seeing this as being a significant seller in South Africa's what is admittedly still a very young electric vehicle market here in South Africa?
Yeah, I hope so. Actually, our annual sales target is around over 1,500 to 2,000, I think.
Of this model in South Africa?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's significant if you think that the total EV market in South Africa last year was only a few thousand models. Anyway, you are clearly expecting this to take a big chunk of the market. Leo Yu is sales GM at eAutomotive.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming into the studio and let us have a chance to drive your car. It's a very interesting new proposition in the local market. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
So, William, your thoughts on the Dongfeng box?
Surprisingly good. You know, when you sit inside any Chinese vehicle these days, you expect to be blown away by the toys. Mm-hmm. And when you sit inside the vehicle and it's got all the toys, you're still blown away. So the tech specification on the car is high. It's surprisingly roomy inside. You know, when you look on the outside,
this
seems to be a fact of the Chinese. They create space out of nothing. I don't know how they do it. You know, it reminds me of that, of the BYD, the C line. You know, sort of sit in the back and you can play a rugby game in the back seats. You know, it's insane.
It's actually remarkable because when you stand next to the car, you think this is a little tiny little city runabout, and you get in and there's
space. There's absolute space. It reminds me of actually the little Japanese, what they call the compacts, these tiny little cars that drive around Japan.
Oh, yes.
When you sit inside one of those, there's also, you know, a surprising amount of space. So
the Japanese almost invented that space.
Chinese have managed to duplicate it. And a remarkably solid little vehicle. I'm looking forward to spending a few more days in it rather than the half hour or 2 hour that we got with it today,
indeed,
2 days ago. But it's, I think it's one of those vehicles that could potentially, if it hits the right spots, could sell in decent numbers.
Yeah.
I know the guys from the importers are certainly looking at targeting it quite aggressively. So let's see.
And it's well-specced, as you said. And I think the Western car companies have got a problem on their hands here, potentially. And I think that Brands like VW, like Toyota, need a response to this car.
I've been saying for ages, you know, the thing with EVs in this country has always been price. Mm-hmm. We need to start bringing the price down. Sub 500K, that's actually a significant barrier to have broken. Mm-hmm. Sub 350K, now we're really talking. That's going to be a lot harder to achieve, of course.
Especially with the tax.
But we hit, don't get me started with the Muppets and their tax. But you know, that's a no-go area, Duncan. We've discussed this.
Sorry. My bad.
No, it's fine. Every now and then a red rag to a bull is useful. But we've certainly
Where did I put my rag?
tariffs. We headed in the right direction. Now the price is on a downward trajectory, which is encouraging.
And this probably explodes. This market, this EV market in South Africa probably explodes when we have an EV in the market that's spec for spec comparable with a VW Polo.
100%.
That is electric.
100%. You know, and as we've been bashing our heads against this wall, when people understand the running costs, when people understand the maintenance costs, when people understand that the batteries actually are going to last a lot longer, as I was saying to you earlier off air, I've just tested a 2-year-old Kia EV6,
which is
one of the few running around in the country. It's done 43,000 Ks already,
mm-hmm.
and its state of battery health is sitting at 100%.
I think I need to hit that button.
Absolutely. I mean, that's incredible. And I also tested a mini EV, 2.5 years old, 30,000 Ks in the clock, state of battery health, 97%.
Incredible.
So, you know, these things aren't going to wear out through use. They're going to wear out from old age.
And that was a big concern.
Kind of like you and I.
Yeah,
so
I think we're almost there.
the battery.
How much will we fetch on the used EV market?
Priceless.
literally
priceless. So it's these kind of things that are starting to become more and more known in the marketplace. Obviously, we highly engage with this. So the mass consumer, as they become more exposed to this, we can really start to see, I think, EV sales start to take off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like we're on the cusp of something.
It does. And you're kind of like, well, why aren't we there yet? I'm impatient at the best of times. I want to be there.
Tax is a big problem. Yeah. Sorry, there's the flag again. it really is one of the big problems.
Absolutely.
Because if the manufacturers want to get the VW Polo sort of pricing in the market, they can't at the moment because you bring in a similarly spec that's got a battery in it, which is obviously a huge cost component to the thing. So there's already going to be a bit of a premium.
Yeah.
But then you layer the tax on top of that and you're talking 20, 30%, 40% premium to the equivalently spec'd ICE vehicle.
And it's exactly that. And the complexities in the layers of tariffs are quite onerous to understand. Yeah. We'll be touching on other tariffs in the show later on that are somewhat impacting on our market.
Yeah.
But you know, it's massively complicated. And I understand that, you know, manufacturing manufactured cars need to be supported and things. Mm. But, you know, there comes a point where, you know, actually at the end of the day, we do need to start to look at this with leveling the playing fields.
Yes.
One of these great lines that comes out of politicians' conferences that I just absolutely loathe. But it's true. Mm. And it's that place that we really need to get
We need the politicians to get a move on. And I think we're probably going to, you know, Cyril Ramaphosa was at the South SA Auto Week last year in Cape Town. That's NAMSA's big annual conference, where he made announcements about plans to incentivize the local manufacturing of EVs and also hinted at potential subsidies even for consumer purchases of EVs. We know that NAMSA conference is coming up again soon. You mm-hmm. hinted at it a bit earlier. It's happening in what used to be called Port Elizabeth. And presumably there'll be some political announcements and politicians there as well. Maybe the president will be there again. And hopefully this year there'll actually be some news to report.
And wild horses cannot keep me away, because this is going to be a really important one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think as our new CEO of Mercedes-Benz, Mr. A.B. Kotler, has mm-hmm. just discovered, as I said to you, he's been tossed a hand grenade with a pin pulled out.
Yes.
You know, Mercedes-Benz are in the news at the moment for all the wrong reasons. So subsequent to Cyril's announcement, it looks like Mercedes-Benz is going to be exiting the market.
So
maybe we don't want Cyril down at this one, at the next one. He could just stay at home and do us less damage. Thank you very much.
Strong views there, William. Strong views.
You know, our local OEMs are under tremendous pressure, mm-hmm. and I think we'll get onto that in a couple of minutes.
But let's talk let's talk about charging stations, because there seems to be a lot happening there.
Isn't it interesting? Yeah.
Zero carbon charge off grid charging station outside Volmar and Stutt, which has become rather famous actually.
So It's actually getting some traction globally. I've seen it on a couple of LinkedIn posts where it's been mentioned, and it's an interesting one because, as you say, it's completely off grid.
Yes.
So it doesn't need Eskom at all to charge your EVs.
Yes.
Now, isn't that interesting? Everyone says, "Oh, it's going to overload Eskom. It's going to destroy Eskom. Eskom can't support it if we had 100% charge." You don't need Eskom.
You
just don't need it. You know.
Although the economics around this we've spoken about before.
So the economics in this are how do I put this?
Difficult,
politically correctly, dismally woeful. I think is probably the best.
That's your politically correct.
Is the best way I can come up with it. It's difficult because you know you're basically retailing electricity at the end of the day that you're generating for free from the sun, but you're putting in massive capital expense into this thing. So it becomes a capex versus how long you can pay it off for, and how much can you sell electricity for, and how much competition do you have, how many charging stations do you have, and how many, and this is the key here, how many EVs do we have on the road? So obviously, if you've got more EVs on the road, the chances are that one of them is going to use your charging infrastructure increases enormously. So it all comes down to size of fleet. And at the moment, I think our total size of fleet, we've got a wonderful picture here from cars.co.za. If you add up all our battery EVs, the ones in green there, it's just under 5,000, which is over 5,000 total EVs on the road at the moment. And if you're running charging stations, and I think Zero Carbon Charge want to roll out 120, and NAMSA have announced they want to roll out another 120.
Yes. Well, NAMSA hasn't announced that yet.
Well, but it's coming. There's talk about this thing coming out.
It's coming at SA Auto Week.
I've heard rumors. So let's not say it's official, but I've heard rumors.
Be an industry backed plan amongst the motoring manufacturers to roll out charging stations. And then, of course, we've got the established guys like Rubicon, which is doing a fantastic job in the Eastern Cape.
Gridcars putting up a whole bunch.
And, of course, Gridcars, which is the original.
We're almost having more charging stations than we do cars. So it's kind of like cart horse.
Yeah.
And those economics, in my mind, can't stack up until we get more and more vehicles on the road. So there's an interesting study that's done by a crowd that you found online. I think it's the next graphic along, about the adoption rate and purchase rate of our new cars. So if these guys are right, and
this is from Green Cape. This was a story that was published on News24, and this shows the cumulative passenger EV fleet in South Africa.
Yeah.
So over time, so this isn't per year. This is cumulative.
Cumulative. Yeah.
So you'd expect it to look a little more parabolic.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, if we get a whole bunch of Dongfeng boxes floating around, that number may accelerate. Mm. But you know, 2030, we're looking at 25,500 cars. It's not enormous
in the ocean
in a fleet of several million that we've got floating around the roads at the moment, and we sell 500,000 cars a year in this country. Remember, so it's
that's rather a depressing graphic.
It's monumentally depressing. Yeah. It's sort of like, you know,
I think it's probably wrong.
Hot bath and rusty razor blades.
It doesn't look right though.
Yeah. So I suspect that if anything, I hope that this is conservative. Because we need those numbers up. And I know that Zero Carbon Charge have got an estimate of around about 354,000 cars by the end of 2029. That's radically different from that. So
maybe the truth is somewhere between the two?
Maybe the truth is somewhere between the two. And, you know, it's a case of there's not a lot we can do about it, Duncan. We're going to have to wait and see. And just put our fingers on the trend and see what's coming out. See what's coming out in the
because when there's when works. That let's be honest, when that tax comes out, and especially it comes out of the equation, and if Ramaphosa follows through on his promise, that and then that's always a big if when there are politicians involved. But if that happens, that picture could look very different.
And one of the keys is getting our OEMs to start to manufacture BEVs locally. And they're not going to do that if they don't have a market to sell into. So, you know, it's a case of we need all the incentives in place. We need the correct pricing points. And then things will unfold as they should. You know, it's a case of the EV market globally didn't grow without subsidies even. We're not even asking for subsidies in this country.
Yes.
We're just saying level the playing fields. And it should sort itself out.
Going to happen?
And Chery have announced that they're bringing in the EV range into South Africa. Establishing a local plant. Yeah, I'm not sold on this at all.
Could just be assembly.
This seems to be the episode of grumpy old men, or grumpy old Will, because I'm grumpy about everything, it seems. I can't see this happening. You know, it's a case of our local market is not that big relative to Chery's production volumes globally. It would have to have massive tax incentives for them to even consider it. And where are they going to sell them to? You know, couple them to local and export where?
I mean, well, there are the tax incentives coming. Maybe that's what they're looking at.
Maybe. Mm. But, you know, it's those incentives are going to have to cover the entire cost of running the operation. Mm. I mean, we've seen what happened with the bike factory down in Quebec. I mean, it's an assembly factory at best. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you believe in the land of rainbows and fluffy clouds and fields of cotton candy. But you know,
never heard Port Elizabeth described that way, but
no, it's just the bike factory. You know, not the recipe is not is somewhat better. But I mean, if they've assembled 1,000 cars or 100 cars in that, I'll eat my hat. And that factory's been there for 7 years, 8 years. I think it's actually almost 9 years old.
You shouldn't make promises about eating your hat on this show. Well, I might just hold you to it.
I'll be happy to do it. I promise I'll be happy to do it, because any manufacturing we need, you know, industrialization, we need to reinvigorate our industrialization in this country. Yeah. So, absolutely.
Because the motoring, let's face facts, with the Trump tariffs, the motoring industry in this country is potentially in serious trouble. I mean, we touched on the shuttering of the... shuttering. I think it's an American.
Well, they're busy. Let me draw you a picture of what's actually happening here. And I brought my, you know, you're in trouble when I bring my clipboard and my pen here. So, you know, when the space people out there look at Earth, yes, they see Earth. That's Earth. Mm-hmm. And for the politicians who watch this show, you're also on it. And within this Earth, they're going to see a whole bunch of insects. Called the human race. Lost in time, Duncan, and lost in space. Does that remind you of anything?
It does, because you told me about the Rocky Horror Picture Show but I wouldn't have thought it otherwise.
And what they see, they're going to see all these insects, all these ants moving around doing things on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. Right? That. It's just going to look like organized chaos. Little ants running around doing things, pulling bits out of the ground, shipping them off somewhere, growing plants, shipping them off somewhere. And if they are able to use their AI, because being space people watching us from space, they presumably have some sort of AI, and try and unpack what's happening, they'll figure out, you know, this is agriculture, this is manufacturing, this is leisure, this is flying around from A to B, and they're going to get to, eventually, our motoring manufacturing sections in global terms. And that's when their little AI is going to short circuit and blow a fuse, because it won't understand it, because all of our OEMs look like that. Mm-hmm. So you have a Toyota that has a plant in Uzbekistan. Mm-hmm. It has a plant in Prospecten in Durban. It has hundreds of thousands of component manufacturers feeding into these plants all over the world. And when we get to our graphic of the best-selling cars in the world, next one along, have a squiz. At number three.
Toyota Corolla Cross.
Now, does that ring a bell?
Best-selling car in South Africa, is it?
859,000 made in the world and manufactured and made in South Africa. Have a look at number six.
Hilux.
Manufactured and made in South Africa.
A portion of that number.
We don't produce anywhere near that kind of number locally.
No.
But I'll guarantee some of our component manufacturers do, mm-hmm, and they're shipping into this, part of which is the United States, and part of which is the 30% tariffs that they now have to compete against.
So it's broader than just the OEMs.
It is broader than just the OEMs. So even if Toyota don't ship their products directly to the States, mm-hmm, they are going to be affected in some way by these tariffs. And that's true of all our OEMs. And that's just adding pressure onto a sector that does not need more pressure added onto it at this particular point, mm-hmm, in time. It is not good news.
No.
We need to sort it out. So that's my little tuppence. And that is what I'm really keen to see come out of our conference down at Quebec with NAMSA October this year. It is by far and away the most important one, mm, I think we've ever had.
But how do we fix our relations with Trump? The guy is so capricious. Does he wake up in a bad mood or not when he meets with us?
I don't know what the space people see when they see him. But, you know, he's maybe a symptom of, or just the focal point, I think, of general American sentiment.
Mm.
You know, when you look at the bill that's being passed now, proposing sanctions against the ANC, mm-hmm, senior executive leagues, and, I mean, mm-hmm, we're talking about motoring, but we're delving into politics here. Yeah. You can't stand the fact that you can't exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, the support for that bill is not just Trump and his ilk; it's, mm-hmm, across the board. We've managed to piss off all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to fix it with all of them. Anyhow, let's see what comes out and what our
I suspect this Auto Week event this year
is fireworks.
The most important that there's ever been.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it. I'm sure the president will be there again. Because it's actually such a critical industry to South Africa, and there's such a threat to it now that we need our brightest minds on this.
I promise to the space people I will bite my tongue.
All right. Let's segue directly into the next story before William launches a political tirade. All right. Why are we talking about this? Autonomous driving. Now, this is the cyber cab. Now, this isn't actually on the roads yet, I don't think. Tesla's been testing on the Model Y.
Tesla is known for sort of under-promising and over-delivering, except with autonomous driving, where it's been a case of they've promised a lot and under-delivered a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting thing that autonomous driving, the more we talk about it, the further away from it we actually seem to be getting.
Mm.
And it's one of those that I think is going to it's never going to happen, suddenly everyone's got it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be just turned on.
Yeah.
At a flip of a switch. One of my favorite things is that all Volvos for the last 4 or 5 years have been autonomous enabled already. They're good to go. They've got all the tech in it. Just need to flip a switch and turn it on. It's advanced lane keeping. It's not quite full autonomous driving, but you know,
they've got different levels of
exactly. And you know, so they're certainly heading in that general direction. But it's a case of, well, why don't we have it already? Where is it going to come? Because the implications of autonomous driving are
enormous.
I mean, they're massive. Yeah. They're massive. I don't think anyone really, I mean, and I hate to use the word futurist, but even the futurists, I don't think, have got a handle on exactly what's likely to transpire.
If you don't have the cost of the driver, it means ride-hailing becomes cheaper in theory. It means less reliance on your own vehicle to get around. What does it mean for vehicle sales?
Well, forget about that. Think about distributed logistics.
Mm-hmm.
So your EV or your car, presumably that's the EV, it makes no difference for autonomous driving, to be honest. But if your car's sitting in the driver and you've got an hour and a half, you're not doing anything, you send it off to go do a delivery. And it doesn't have to do the full delivery. Your AI can pick up a package that you're sending down to Cape Town, and it'll just do that bit of the leg to get it from there and onto the truck and to wherever. And if you're coming up from Cape Town in your car, you pick up a couple of packages, chuck them into your car, and off you go. It's just distributed logistics. For an AI, it's just mathematics.
Could courier companies use it? Could
we absolutely. Have
driverless courier companies?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, that implication, your car already taking itself off to be serviced, if you need to have it serviced, or shared ownership. I mean, this is a thing that goes around on LinkedIn or across my feed with monotonous regularity. It's kind of like, you'll never own a car. I'm kind of like, bullshit. I want my own car. Yeah. The fact is I want to be able to get it and go down to the shops and pick up a loaf of bread and come back. I don't want to walk. I mean, for God's sake, who has time to walk?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think that the concept of vehicle ownership is going away anytime soon, but I think there will be new models of it and new derivatives of transportation solutions emerging from autonomous driving.
Yeah. And I think sitting here in South Africa, we don't have a full appreciation for how quickly this is moving. If you go to San Francisco, for example, now, you can ride hail in a Waymo taxi right now. Mm-hmm. It'll arrive, it'll pick you up, there'll be no driver, it'll take you from point A to point B with no problem.
And it's still a Jaguar I-Pace, I believe. So, you know, it's a case of that stuff is already, you know, in existence, and as I say, I think it's going to be slowly, then very quickly that it snaps in. It's just interesting that Tesla's not leading the charge yet.
Yes,
you know, so it's
trying to get there though. It's not leading. It's Musk's doing a lot of catching up actually in a lot of fields. He's a leader in space rocket launches, but in other fields,
it'll be interesting to see. I wouldn't bet against him. Let's put it that way. Because he does tend to surprise on the upside generally.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that Tesla have been punting for a very long time that they just haven't seemed to nail completely yet.
Yeah, but it's going to be fascinating to watch. And some of the big ride-hailing companies are already starting to deal. I think it was Uber the other day announced a big deal with BYD for autonomous vehicles, autonomous EVs.
It's a natural fit, isn't it?
Yeah. But I don't think we're quite ready to give up our cars for driverless vehicles when you can buy one of these for actually quite a good price.
It's nuts, isn't it? I mean, it's just slightly under the Tesla Model Y price, which is about $38,000, I think, the 6 priced at. But this is the YU7, and it is stupid fast, just in sales. 200,000 in 3 minutes.
Surprised the website didn't crash.
Have you ever, you know, 200,000
as a pre-orders
in 3 minutes is pre-orders for this
Xiaomi YU7. It looks beautiful. I mean, that could be a Porsche except for the color, maybe.
Well, that's not, you're not the first to have made that jump, and yeah, actually, I don't mind the color.
It's not bad.
I quite like greens.
Yeah, green in a sports car looks nice.
My voice says green's an unlucky color, but I haven't crashed a green car yet. So fortunately, I only own two.
For any of us sending cars from their fleets for us to have a look at, what colors have you crashed?
No, only of my own cars. Okay. I only crash my own cars. I never crash anybody else's cars.
Oh, good. Okay. No. It's safe, folks.
At least not yet. But I think that's a good looking car. And Xiaomi, cell phone manufacturing company, 3 years ago, selling 200,000 of these in 3 minutes. Who would have put money on that bet?
They make vacuum cleaners, they make smart fans, they make all sorts of stuff.
Who would have bet on that?
No, me not.
Absolutely not. I would have laughed at you.
200,000. And what's the figure now? I mean, it's jumped much higher.
It's nuts. It just goes to show what's happening.
I wonder if this will ever come to South Africa. I mean, the smartphones are on sale here. Mm. They're other consumer electronics, so presumably at some point.
Well, someone said they saw a Rivian floating around on our roads the other
day. That was me.
Oh, was it you?
It was me.
So I'm kind of like, if they're here, something's happening.
Well, something's happening.
Maybe someone just bought one and that's their little toy.
Could have been.
But, it's...
Yeah.
The first one to see a slate, I'll buy a beer.
Beers are better than eating hats, certainly.
That's exactly it.
We wanted to chat a little bit about Porsche while we're talking about Porsche. So now, apparently there came an EV replacement.
It's disappointing. It's disappointing.
What's the story here?
So, Porsche are, you know, the Cayman is basically the smaller version of the 911 that could never be allowed to be as good as the 911 because it was in some ways better than the 911. Okay. Don't ever say that. But it was. People who own Caymans love them, and they are every bit as good as a 911, just somewhat down the power and things. But the new EV was going to be Porsche's first foray into the Cyberster market, you know, the MG Cyberster, two-door sports coupe.
And that's a 1.4 million rand EV.
It is a 1.4 million
rand EV. For Porsche, that's cheap.
For Porsche, that's cheap. So and they've just delayed it now. So
why?
Not happening. They're not sure. They're not saying anything.
Okay.
But I did watch a little video on that Top Gear Australia with the new Hyundai.
Oh, yes.
The Ioniq 5, which is the full EV, but it has simulated gears and makes noises like a full petrol engined car would.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking that if Porsche sort of had a look at that and thought, it's better than what we've got, maybe they're doing some software updates and changes to it. Either way, it's one of those cars that I'm desperate to get my hands on, desperate just to see it in the market because it's an important vehicle for everybody. I mean, Porsche's sports cars, and I mean, the take and with respect just isn't as exciting as like a Cayman. And
I'm going to go and have a look at this. I don't follow Porsche very closely at all, but that sounds like interesting.
I unfortunately do. It's one of those things. One of my weaknesses.
You mentioned the MG Cyberster. Have you seen any on the roads yet?
I saw one the other day, briefly.
Mm-hmm.
It's
and
blisteringly fast.
Yeah,
it is blisteringly
fast. What color
was
it? Red?
No, it was white. Old English white. So they call it ivory. I think is the correct term. Although the MG
was there an old English white guy driving it?
Yeah, probably. The English car club will slay me if I get that number. I even painted my MGA in the color, but yeah, antique ivory, something along those lines.
Okay,
it's like an off white creamy type color, which is
just Cyberster. It does look like a very nice.
It's a nod back to the original MG heritage lines.
Yeah,
it's
made in China, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, out of Sykes factory. And as I saw it briefly, it was just gone in a heartbeat.
Now, you wanted to chat about this guy. I must say, I haven't followed this.
Unused Formula One commentator.
Should we get him as a co-host on the show? Looking for a
hands
job.
Hands down. As much as everybody doesn't like Christian Horner, I think he got absolute results. Mm-hmm. And as a commentator, I think he would be brilliant. He would be hysterical to listen to. So, Christian, don't give up on Formula One completely. You know, you've still got a career, as a commentator. Right. Go for it, China.
Now, I learned today he's married to one of the Spice Girls.
He is, Jerry Halliwell. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Part of the motoring world is that slipped me by completely, I'm afraid.
Formula One. Mm. It's exciting. It's very interesting at the moment. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of exciting, that's the end of episode 3.
Can't believe it's been so quick already.
It has been.
Been a flyer.
It has been. It's been fun doing these 3 shows. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, wheels@techcentral.co.za. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us what you think of the show. What are we not doing well? What do you want to see on the show? Tell us what cars you want us to review.
Less ranting from Will. I'll try and behave.
I think we might get some requests for you to eat your hat live on air.
I know exactly. I've got one hat in particular that I...
Oh, you've got one.
Let us hope it never passes to that eventuality.
But seriously, let us know what cars you want and we'll speak to the OEMs and we'll try and get them on the show. And
it'd be great.
Do some reviews of them. And William, you're champing at the bit, as it were, to get your hands on some EVs and get some reviews under your belt. So
absolutely,
send us the vehicles and we'll definitely have a look at them.
Fantastic.
Thank you for watching, and we hope to see you in season 1. William, thank you.
Duncan, it's been great.
It has been. Cheers.
See you in season 1.